I'm doing last week of it. You got it. You're the man, Victor. Thank you. It's good to be here once again as we're here to study the Word of God and put to practice the things that we study from time to time. That's very important, put into practice in our lives. And I often tell myself and brethren we can have gospel meetings, vacation Bible study, have all those lessons, but if we don't put it to practice, we're not going to grow. And so that's very important. I want to thank Victor for leading the singing, especially the song Walking Along at Eve. It's going to go along with my lesson. I want to continue my thought on the subject, I have set the Lord always before me. Looking at what David's good attitude he had towards God in Psalm 16 and verse 8. We know in Psalm 16, David makes another prayer for divine protection. He asks God to protect him as he goes through life. And David just made up in his mind that he's going to set the Lord before him, keep his focus on God, and that's what we all must do. Psalm 16 and verse 8, here's what David says here. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. See what he says there? Now, I kind of looked at this. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. And I thought about that. What is David talking about here? That God is at his right hand. He said, I shall not be moved. I think that David had in mind by God being at his right hand means David put God first in his life. And that's what we must do. We must put God first in our lives. Where Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6, 33, I believe. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the material things will be added to you. So another good point here, David said, I have set. The word set means to put in specified place. David put God in his heart and in his mind and soul. God's word provides the full revelation of God, we know. Through nature, we are limited in what we can learn from God. Now, we can learn a lot from God through nature, but we can't learn everything from God about God through nature. We can see his power, divinity, glory, and knowledge through nature. But we learn nothing of his will and purpose for us. So that's why we have to go to the Word of God. It is only through divine revelation that God has made his will fully known. And that's why it's so important to study at home. Now, I know we come together here and we study the Bible, and that's good, as we should. But we need to spend time at home studying the Word of God. And have a balance, but we need the Word of God. And as we go through this lesson, we can see how powerful God's Word is and how it can be in our lives. He has revealed many things through his Spirit, who in turn revealed them through the apostles. And how we got the Word, and we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. Now, how we got the Word was through the Holy Spirit gave it to the apostles. The apostles gave it to the scribes. They wrote it down. And now we have it through written word. That's how we are able to have the Bible. The Holy Spirit gave it to the apostles. The apostles wrote it down, scribes, and wrote it down. And now we have it today. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, Let's look at these scriptures here. First Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 9. But as it is written, has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Okay. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And then we can see there. And so the point is this. I don't know what God is thinking unless and there's some secret things that he hadn't told us. But we know the mind of God by studying the Word of God. And just like, I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what people are thinking. Sometimes people say, I know what you're thinking. Well, you know, you don't. You can assume we may know by some type of body language what people are trying to say. But the only way that I can know what's on their minds, they have to tell me. And I tell sometimes, you know, even married people, sometimes we don't know everything about our spouse, but Valentine's Day is coming up, and some things you have to tell what you like. We don't know everything. One man said that he didn't know what to get his wife, not just Valentine's, but just a gift, and I just told him what you need to do is just ask her what she like. We know some things that they like. But my point is, we don't know what's on a person's mind, everything about them, unless they tell us. All right, that's what Paul was saying here about God. For me to know what God wants me to do, I'll have to go to the Word, and he has revealed it in the Word, so I can know what he wants me to do. Like I pointed out earlier, you're not going to really know through creation. We know that there is a God, and we can see his work, but for us to know what God wants us to do, we've got to, and he has revealed it to us through the Word. I know what he wants me to do when I study the Bible. Such things were written for our benefit and understanding the Word of God. Now let's look at Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll look at verse 3. Ephesians 3 and verse 3. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll just start at verse 1. Ephesians 3 and verse 1. Paul was writing to the brethren there at Ephesus. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. Now watch it. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written to you. You know what the mystery that he's talking about here? The mystery is the gospel. At one time it was not made known unto man. But today and now it's made known to Jews and Gentiles. The mystery at one time was not known to all men. Matter of fact, it was given to the Jews first, then the Gentiles. All right. Now, if you look at verse 4, because one man told me one time, he said, I don't know why in the world you're reading the Bible because you can't understand it. That's not true. And guess what? We can all understand it alike. Look what he says here, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. How can we understand it? By reading it. A lot of people don't like to read it. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit in his the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. So we have it right here. Everything that we need to know about life and godliness and how to live a godly life is in the Word of God. Others depend upon the Word to remain close to God. Others depend upon the Word to remain close to God. And that's what we want. David used it in many ways to stay close to God. David used the Word to stay close to God. And that's what we must do. If you look at Psalms 119 and verse 92 in the Old Testament, these are some good scriptures here that we have read before, but we need to go and read them again. Psalms 119 and 92. Let's look at 92 here and 93. Psalms 119, 92, and 93. Look how these scriptures are so, I mean, they just amazing. Unless your law had been my delight, my pleasure, I would then have perished in my affliction. See what David says right there? And of course, we know that only a real love of God's commandments can sustain men under severe afflictions. When we go through severe afflictions, stay in the Word. Look at verse 93. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. Those scriptures are powerful. Said David said, I'm not going to forget God's precepts. They give me life. They give me spiritual life. Now, Psalms 119 and 105. Let's look at 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And we can understand that. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It shows us how, which way we should go. I know when I take the trash out at night, sometimes I got a flashlight. And that flashlight, I can put it in front of me, I can see where I'm going. The Word of God, we keep it in front of us, and we can see where we're going spiritually. Okay. Look at Psalms 119 and 147. 119 and 147. Look here. 119. Yeah, one. I'm moving out of 119. I don't need to do that. 119 and 147 is what I'm looking at here. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. Look at 148. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on the word. Isn't that something? When he would wake up, he would meditate on the word of God. That's what we should do. Just meditate on the word of God. And as you get older, you're going to wake up at night, seem like. And sometimes you may not go back to sleep. So meditate on the word of God. Just think about it, and it gives you, it's going to give us pleasure and going to give us joy. the song that Victor led, and we'll be looking at that in my lesson. I think about that song a lot when I wake up at night. Jesus used it to ward off the tempter. Jesus used what? He used the word. In Matthew 4 and verse 4. Look at Matthew chapter 4 in the New Testament. Now, let me tell you something. If Jesus used the word to ward off the temptations, don't you think that we need it as well? In Matthew, we know this, where Jesus had fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights. That's amazing there. In Matthew chapter 4. And let me tell you something about Satan. He's going to come when we're at our weakest. He's going to come when we are at our weakest. Let's look at Matthew 4. We begin reading verse 1. I'll tell you, let's read verse 1 there. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." See what Satan messing with you. You the Son of God? Command that these stones be made bread. But look what Jesus had scripture. He had scripture to fight him. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Sometimes people just like to use one scripture. We have to obey all of the scriptures. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, we have to use those scriptures. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And you know, when sometimes I remember back in the day at school, how they would dare you to do something, and you wouldn't do it. They may dare you to jump in deep water at some rock quarry where you're not supposed to be there, because you don't know there's rocks under that water or whatever, and they dare you to jump off. And then they'll start double dog daring you. I'll double dog you. Don't listen to that. Satan was trying to tempt Jesus to throw yourself down. Just throw yourself down. Jesus didn't do it. Look at verse 7. Jesus said to him, "It is written, again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And look at verse 8. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." This is what the devil was saying. The kingdoms of the world. Think about that. The devil said, the kingdoms of the world belong to me, and I'll give them to you. Did they belong to the devil? Yeah, I think the kingdoms of the world are sinful things. The kingdom, there are kingdoms that are sinful kingdoms. But you all can study on that. Well, Satan said, they belong to me, and I'll give them to you if you would just fall down and worship me. But study on that, because I believe that the kingdoms that he had in reference had sinful. What Satan belongs, whatever he has, is no good. Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." And then, of course, we know that the devil left him, and But he'll leave, but he's coming back. He's coming back. Let God's word help you draw near to him who is the source of peace and strength. When we obey God, when we obey his word, we're going to have peace and we're going to have strength. The song that Victor led us in, sitting alone at eve and dreaming the hours away, watching the shadows falling now at the close of day, God in his mercy comes with his word, he is drawing near, spreading his love and truth around me in everywhere. And so we can see here from these songs, and let me say this, songs are to teach. That's why we sing scriptural songs, because they teach us. But do not stop with listening to God through his word. To really draw close to God, you need to have the attitude that David had. Set the Lord before you through your prayers. Through prayer. A close relationship must be it's a two-way street. If we're going to have a good relationship, it's a two-way street. God has revealed himself to us through his creation and revelation. Like I said, we can see God through the creation. We must reveal ourselves to him, which we do through prayer. This relationship with God is a two-way, with Christ is a two-way street. It is not that, you know, we want God to do everything, and we don't want to do anything. We must reveal ourselves to him, which we do through prayer. The means by which to express every concern, to receive appropriate blessings. Philippians 4 and 6, which we're not going to read that. We read it before. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for us. Be anxious for nothing. All those scriptures we have read, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And we've read those. And that's what we need to do. Instead of worrying about stuff, we need to cast our cares upon God. We don't need to be anxious for anything, and it's easy for me to say this, but why, when God said don't be anxious, let's listen to him. Why are we anxious about stuff? The means by which to draw boldly to God, to obtain mercy and grace to help. Let's look at Hebrews. Here's another one that we've read before. And I'm getting close to the end of the lesson. Hebrews chapter 4, 14. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let's not be doubting about the Bible, about the promises that God has given us. We don't need to be doubting about these things. Look at verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Somebody tell you they don't have any, they're not telling the truth. We all have weaknesses. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. See what he says there? Now, we can have a weakness for food. We all have some type of weakness. Esau, remember, sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of soup. And so, we all have weaknesses. But we can go to God, and he understands. And I do tell people this, that if you have a weakness with gambling, and sometimes people have a weakness, gamble.
I know the boys at school, they had a weakness with gambling. And boy, I tell you, them guys get in the hallway in a corner and they would shoot dice. And one of the guys that was shooting the dice saying, "When you're hot, you're hot." And the principal said, "When you're caught, you're caught. Let's go, boys." Sure did. But why bring, if they have a weakness for gambling, don't bring no dice. Don't put them in your pocket. You take some people have a weakness for gambling, why would they want to go to Las Vegas at a casino? Nothing wrong with going to Las Vegas. But if they have a weakness for gambling, don't go to the casino. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So people just won't, they just have these weaknesses, and you don't put yourself in a situation where you're going to be tempted. Others found prayer the means to receive help from God. David found that confession sin to God brought forgiveness. David confessed his sin, repented to God, confessed his sin to God, and it brings forgiveness. David felt better when he confessed his sin to God. Now, I'm not going to read Psalms 32, 3 through 6. You can read it when you go home, but we're just going to feel better when we obey God. Jesus found prayer to be a source of strength in times of trial. Matthew 26, 36 through 44, you can read that one as well, a little homework there. Jesus, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed and found strength. Draw near to God, God's throne, through prayer. Let him know of your deepest need. We can do this. We can let God know of our deepest need. Remember the song that we were singing in the service, closing my eyes at eve and thinking of heaven's grace. How often do you think of heavens? Close your eyes at night and thinking of heaven. That's where we want to go. And I want to see everybody here going. I want to see you there in heaven. Longing to see my Lord and see him as well. Yes, meeting him face to face. Trusting him as my all, wheresoever my footsteps roam. Pleading with him to guide me on to the spirit home. And in conclusion of this lesson, let's set the Lord always before us through prayer and Bible study. We can set the Lord before us through prayer and Bible study. There may be someone out there who's not a Christian. If not, they need to be a Christian. One must hear the gospel, Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. One must believe the gospel, Mark 16 and 16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. One must repent of their sins, Luke 13 and 3. Jesus said, except you repent, you will perish. So we have to repent, change our mind and action towards wrong. Must confess Christ before men, Matthew 10, 32. Jesus tells us, whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me, I'll deny you. He gives us a choice. And then we must be baptized for the remission of our sins, Romans chapter 6. Go down into the watery grave of baptism, come up out of the water. Every sin that we have committed will be washed away. We'll be a brand new person, brand new creature. And that's what the Bible teaches us. There may be someone out there who is a Christian and they have gone back into the world. You've gone back into the world. Please make your life right with God while together we stand and sing the song that has been selected. Thank you.